Hello and welcome to VOA Asia, your daily roundup of news and information from the United States. We invite you to join us on Facebook at VOA Asia and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. VOA Asia also has great videos for you to see on our YouTube channel. We say hello today to our listeners joining us on great radio stations from around Asia. And if you like, download our program from iTunes or the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's get started with today's program. For nearly five decades, the United States was the top choice for Indian students and professionals wanting to migrate. But as Washington puts in place more restrictive immigration policies, tens of thousands of young Indians are heading to Canada, which has opened its doors to immigrants to plug shortages of skilled workers. From New Delhi, Anjana Pasricha reports.
As they packed their bags in their New Delhi home, Ankit Gupta and his wife, Shubhi, were excited. The young couple, both accountants, had an invitation for permanent residency in Canada, similar to a green card in the United States. They wanted to migrate to a developed country that would offer their 9-year-old daughter a brighter future and give them better work-life balance. They seized the opportunity offered by Canada, which is aiming to take in 1 million skilled immigrants by 2021.
US was never in my mind, to be very honest. You know, from the beginning, I was looking for a place which provides me, my family, especially my daughter, a kind of life where she is, or she can actually do and prosper whatever she wants to do, you know, and nobody's there to stop her. So there's not much of a competition, you know, she can actually think and just follow her dreams.
Besides young professionals, thousands of students are also opting for Canada because the path to citizenship is easier. As Nikhil Kumar applied for postgraduate studies overseas, he never considered the United States the top choice for Indians for decades. After struggling to get a decent opening since graduating from a Delhi college, he is considering a life overseas. But as work visas in the United States become harder to come by, Kumar is opting for universities in Canada, a country that offers job opportunities and simpler access to permanent residency.
US, there are stricter laws and, you know, the PR, and there's a lot of problem that is being faced by Indian students over there. So I feel, you know, why waste time on that when I'm getting the same kind of education? Canada is also one of very good places to get the same education.
As they headed to Canada, the Gupta said uprooting themselves was a challenge.
It's never easy to leave a secure life behind, right? India is a progressing country. You have a family here. You have a well-secured, well-paid job here.
But as India becomes more crowded, its air more polluted, good schools and colleges hard to gain admission to due to intense competition, Indians are among the top seekers of permanent residency in Canada.
Low population, people are friendly, nice culture, you know, you can kind of take your culture over there and, you know, share it amongst people over there. And education is good, health is good, the place is perfect, so it's great.
As growing barriers make US shores more distant, the allure of Canada for immigrants is rising. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
What's among the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com? It may be trade or economic developments in the region. Are the currents calm or choppy in the South China Sea? What is happening in reclusive North Korea? Is there a new movie or technology that interests you? China is huge and diverse. There's always something happening in the Middle Kingdom. You'll find expanded coverage of all of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and also on the voanews.com website. Now on VOA Asia, in December of 2018, the White House released its Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, or STEM, education strategy for the next 5 years to encourage students to study in those fields. With high demands for STEM jobs, students across the country are eager to pursue those careers. 12-year-old Ahmad Sawari is an Afghan immigrant, a student dreaming of working in Silicon Valley, and many say he has the talent to take him there. VOA's Munaza Shahid tells us what she learned after visiting Sawari and his school.
Moving to a new city is difficult, but moving to a new country comes with unique challenges for a 12-year-old kid.
When I first came to the U.S., I didn't have any friends because I was not able to interact with them in English. But within a few months, I learned English and made many friends.
But what separates Ahmad Sarwari from his fellow seventh graders is that he is designing video games and creating websites at a young age, and while doing so, assisting his family financially.
So far now, I'm just like creating website for people by email. Like they email me, tell me to create a website for me, like for their business, for their like for their selves, personal websites, and for their like their life website and everything.
Sarwari is from an Afghan immigrant family who moved to the United States just a couple of years ago. And in such a short time, he has managed to draw a lot of attention at his school.
I noticed that he's very, very good at math. And then also in the beginning of the year, he had regular math. And everyone that was in his class before was very, very confused. They're like, why isn't he in honors math? And then he ended up getting moved because he took a test and he got moved to honors math.
Anything he wants to do, I believe he'll be able to do. If I had to pick a category or a discipline he's going to go into, I would say someplace in technology, because he is just a natural when it comes to computers and coding. I could see him doing animations. I could see him doing movies, being a director, doing editing for movies, anything in that technology area, even an engineer, technology engineer.
Sarwari's goal in life is to work in the information technology field, and particularly in Silicon Valley, where the demand for STEM jobs attracts talent from around the world. Munaza Shahid, VOA News, Anaheim, California.
What's happening now in Asia? Check our VOA Asia Facebook page. There you'll find all the latest stories from Asia and perhaps very close to where you live. Will it have an effect on your life? We check with experts and correspondents to bring you the answers. Also, stop by our website at voanews.com. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, since the 1970s, more than 4 million Vietnamese have emigrated to America. Most of them are on America's West Coast, but a large group live in Texas and Louisiana in America's Deep South. That's where Teresa Nguyen ended up in 1979 when she came here with her family. VOA's Tra Mi has her story.
Louisiana is a deep southern U.S. state bordering the Gulf of Mexico and is famous for its developed fisheries. It is also where many Vietnamese refugees chose to live, where they came here in the 1970s. Teresa Nguyen is one of them.
I buy shrimp from fishermen, preliminarily processes, then distribute to big processing companies.
Okay, $1 a pound.
$1 a pound. Her company buys seafood from fishermen, then resells to major seafood processing companies in the region. Nguyen was one of the first Vietnamese Americans to open a shrimp processing plant in New Orleans.
It is always super busy on weekends. It's more relaxing on weekdays with just a few boats.
Nguyen is now more than 70 years old, but for the past 20 years, she has been here every day during shrimp and oyster season.
I'm getting older, so I don't work as hard as I used to.
Nguyen's journey started since the fall of Saigon in 1975. In 1979, she, her husband, and five children fled Vietnam by boat.
After 5 days, we encountered pirates. We were robbed, raped.
A Malaysian ship discovered her boat of refugees, and she eventually came to the United States, settling in Texas, then eventually in Louisiana.
I sold shrimp on the street with my youngest son next to me. 2 pounds, 5 pounds, 3 pounds, strolling around New Orleans. My van was just an old one. No back seat. I put my son here, next to me.
After many years of working, Nguyen saved enough money to buy a failing seafood processing facility. But getting started wasn't easy.
For almost 2 years, local fishermen did not want to do business with me. They would see me if they had just a few pounds. If they had more, they would go elsewhere.
Teresa Nguyen's facility continues to grow, but it's still not easy. She's been robbed by people and beaten up by nature.
Katrina destroyed everything. I lost all of my business. I'm now 71. I'm going to retire soon. But as long as God lets me continue, I'll keep working to take care of my children.
We thank Vietnamese correspondent Tra My for contributing this report. You can see more online at our website at voanews.com.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
They're still trying to figure out what are the specific policies from the White House.
VOA Asia, your daily digest of top Asia stories.
Beijing has especially hazardous levels of air pollution.
Blending American and Asian perspectives.
China is protecting wildlife.
Original reports and series. Education, health, technology. Stories that mean something to your daily life. VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us on VOA Asia. Children of immigrants who are born in the United States often struggle to understand their own identity. A Cambodian-American actress is using her art to explore her roots through a very personal story. VOA's Chetra Chap reports.
Dad, I'm going to write a play. Can you tell me more about how our relatives escaped the Khmer Rouge? How did they get to America?
This is Kalyan Ung on stage performing Letters from Home, a play about her Cambodian relatives who wrote letters to her father asking him to help them escape the Khmer Rouge genocide.
They began in 1979 and spanned over the next several years, and they were letters from my family members who were trying to get out of the refugee camps asking for my father to help them because my father was in America.
You read each letter at the fireplace and then threw them into the fire.
Her father, China Ri Ung, is an internationally respected, award-winning composer. He got a scholarship to study music in the U.S. in 1964. In the late 1970s, China Ri Ung witnessed from afar some 1.7 million Cambodians executed by the country's most destructive communist regime, the Khmer Rouge. Later, he exchanged hundreds of letters with his surviving relatives living in refugee camps in Thailand. He was trying to find and sponsor them to America.
After 40 years, I buried the letter in the box. It just upset me to read those letters. But finally, I have faith on Kalyan because she became a capable actor.
Based in Los Angeles, the 33-year-old Cambodian-American actress earned her Master of Fine Arts in Acting from California Institute of the Arts, and she has worked with critically acclaimed theaters and opera companies such as Critical Mass Performance and Independent Shakespeare.
My noble father.
But working on such a personal project demanded more than just professional training and experience.
I felt overwhelmed. Because it is overwhelming and the passages were very sad, but also because I was watching my father finally deal with it. And my father never talked about it.
Letters from Home is a 2-hour multimedia solo performance based on the letters from Ong's father and his emotional journey dealing with what happened.
I hold the rocks one in each hand. It is the only thing to console me.
In the play, Ong speaks, sings, and dances to tell us stories that pays tribute to refugees, immigrants, and the traumas passed down within families. Ong said working on this project allowed her to explore her connection to her family, legacy, and the countries of her father's birth.
As I started investigating the letters and as I started figuring out what my play was, I started realizing that I could also channel my relatives, my ancestors through Shakespeare. And so the play is also about that, about understanding what it is to be Cambodian, maybe perhaps, what it is to be an artist, a Cambodian artist.
Kalyan Ong has performed Letters from Home more than 20 times across the U.S., and she is scheduled to bring the play to Thailand and Cambodia in June. I'm Chatra Chap for VOA News, Los Angeles.
News alerts from VOA Asia keep you up to date on the biggest stories as they happen. Listen daily to VOA Asia and stop by our Facebook page to get daily headlines and all of our latest posts with features and breaking news. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, building a tech startup isn't easy, especially in countries with less established tech industries. Nevertheless, many global entrepreneurs are determined to succeed, and the recent Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas provided a chance to prove themselves to the rest of the industry. VOA's Tina Trin met with startup founders from Senegal, Ukraine, and Thailand.
Eureka Park is part of the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, where more than 1,200 exhibitors and tech startups from around the world come to show off their products. The usual suspects are out in full force, but there are also some unexpected contenders for rising tech star, like in Thailand, where it appears necessity is the mother of invention.
Our friends come together and we want to work in a robot company. We cannot find one in Thailand, and we quite young that time, so we just set up our own company.
Mahisorn Wongpati and his partners build security robots, along with drones that collect and analyze agricultural data. It's their first time at CES.
Actually, I am quite a nerd. just into the engineering things. And when you become CEO, then you have to talk business. And that is something really challenging for engineers to pretend to do that. CES will be a good stage for us to learn more about selling things.
It's also a chance to showcase the country's tech talent, something that surprised Pachara Kanchesi, who returned to his homeland after stints in New York and Chicago.
I believe that we have a lot of talented people, like engineer, designer, or anyone in Thailand is really smart, but we don't have like enough financial support.
Mahamadou Lamine Kebe traveled from Senegal in search of funding for Tolbi, part of a system of connected sensors that help farmers track water usage.
My uncle is an African farmer, and he wastes 50 to 80% of his water irrigation due to the lack of knowledge and control over the water need. And this costs money.
Lamine Kebe is at CES to find partners that can help further develop Tobi's sensors. Fellow Senegalese founder Diko Si says CES is the place to be to get in front of potential investors.
It's a big fair, the biggest fair of innovation and technologies in the world, where we have the opportunity to meet the biggest companies in the field of innovation and technology.
Over at the Ukraine stand, Anastasia Romanova is showing off her smart, eco-friendly mosquito control system.
These opportunities are really important to give the voice for Ukrainian technologists.
There is a bit of a lack right now of a systematic support, like, for example, a lack of accelerators in Ukraine.
which is why industry exposure is key for these fledgling companies. Andriy Konovalenko says CES visitors have provided invaluable feedback for CamTouch, a device that lets users turn any surface into an interactive one.
They also give us new ideas how we can use our technology we built to make new products and reach new markets.
We are really pleased and grateful to be here today to represent Ukraine. It's a huge step for us and it's a great responsibility, and we are ready to rock it.
True to its name, the opportunities for discovery at Eureka Park are many. Tina Trin, VOA News, Las Vegas.
Hundreds of new restaurants mushroom in Washington every year, but the immigrant food restaurant that recently opened just a block away from the White House is unique. On top of making a delicious statement, it also makes a political one, serving food inspired by many immigrant communities that live in the United States. Anna Rice narrates the visit Mikhailo Komodovsky made to the unusual venue.
Lafayette Square is just steps away from the center of U.S. politics, the White House, in the heart of Washington, D.C. Now a new restaurant called Immigrant Food is making its own political statement by serving food inspired by the many immigrant communities that live in the U.S.
Obviously, the closer we are to the White House, the better it is to talk about a cause.
Peter Schechter, one of the co-owners of Immigrant Food, was born in Italy, and he still remembers how hard it was to adapt to a new country and new food traditions. That's why he decided not to focus on one cuisine, but let his customers choose the food that feels closer to home. Chinese and Peruvian dishes are on the menu, together with Iranian, American, Russian, and Italian ones, among many others. To Schechter, it's as much of a culinary statement as it is a political one.
We believe that people wake up in the morning and say to themselves, I don't recognize this America, and I would like to do something, but they don't know what to do. Well, in this restaurant, we will give them very clear ideas of what to do. We have an engagement menu right next to our food, and they can donate money, they can volunteer their time, they can sign a petition. There's all types of things that they're able to do in order to help immigrants.
The engagement menu has as many options as the food menu. Patrons can get information on how to teach English, visit detention centers, and conduct mock ICE interviews. Volunteers sit right next to those who just popped in to enjoy lunch. Representatives of five NGOs are here a few times a week to talk about what they do.
CARE Coalition is very specifically oriented towards working with immigrants who are detained by ICE. So we are responsible for providing education and legal services in all of the ICE detention centers in Virginia, D.C., and Maryland.
Customers seem to really enjoy the idea behind the business, both the varied menu and the chance to help those who need it.
It's such a great message. Well, first of all, I've heard the food is great. But beyond that, I think it's such a positive message to be celebrating different foods, different cultures, all the things that make America great.
Having food and bringing all the different food together from the places where people are, I think is super interesting, and it's something people in D.C. love. And even like, I mean, I work at the World Bank, so my team is super international, right? So coming together here is a great, great choice.
The restaurant owners hope the idea will contribute to understanding and bonding between people. After all, it should be easier to make balanced policy decisions after a tasty meal. For Mikhaila Komandovsky in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Be sure to like us on Facebook at VOA Asia and take us wherever you go by downloading our podcast from voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us today and invite you to come back tomorrow for another episode of VOA Asia. For our entire team and the great people behind the scenes who put this show on the air every day, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day.